You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
A pleasant good afternoon, everyone. A midweek Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here in Eastern Iowa's home for Sports 1600 ESPN. Great to have you with us, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Gall with you here today. Got a great show lined up for you. Caddy Smack of the Gym Class coming up. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports joining us, and we will talk some golf with you. Open Championship about, gosh, what, 8 hours-ish? Away from teeing off, 8 to 10 hours anyway, over in Northern Ireland. So we will talk about that, answer your questions. If you have a question about your game, get it to us on the text line, 319-366-1600. Brian will answer your questions. We will not. We will pass the question along to Brian for him to help out with your golf game as we get into the midpoint of the month of July. But prior to that, baseball from last night and a very historic night at Truist Park in Atlanta, and we will get to that. 319-366-1600, as I mentioned, that is the text line. Phone line as well. You like to pick up the phone and give us a call. That's also 319-366-1600. Coming your way at 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Scott, Brian, Isaac, everyone out there. And I don't think we're going to have a swing off today. We're going to have fun.
Very true. You stayed up for the whole thing.
Of course I did.
Okay, very good. Very good. Isaac, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And I know you stayed up.
Yeah. Okay. I got no problem staying up. It was a fun time.
Not many. It was interesting to me before we get into it that, and it's Atlanta, and Atlanta has a reputation for fans leaving early, sometimes not showing up, et cetera, et cetera. There were a lot of empty seats toward the end of that ball game. Now, granted, it was 6-0 at one point before the American League came back and tied it up before the first ever swing off for an all-star game win. But it was interesting to see those high-priced tickets, seats behind home plate, half empty in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning. I thought that was things I noticed, Mark.
I wonder how many people knew there would be a swing-off.
I didn't.
I mean, that rule came into effect in 2022, but just hasn't been used. I'm pretty sure not a lot of people, number one, didn't expect the American League to rally and tie it up. And then how they were going to settle it.
When they brought in their final pitcher, Diaz came in for the Mets. I was thinking, okay, what's happening here? Okay, that's nice that you got everybody in that could play, but we're not having any ties anymore. So I think that helped out a little bit. And, of course, the big debate today and the discussion points among sports radio, you name it, from coast to coast, sea to shining sea, et cetera, was how was it? And I think the overwhelming majority are saying it was a whole lot of fun. Some people are taking it a step further, saying, oh, this is the way everything should be. Can I say that the National League won on penalty kicks last night, Isaac?
It is very similar to penalty kicks. That was my sort of initial reaction. I was like, this is very similar to what happens in soccer.
They won on penalty kicks, but the National League got the victory, and it was a very interesting and entertaining evening, I think, last night in Atlanta, Mark. I liked it.
Yeah, I think it was. I think I texted you at one point and said, this is boring.
That was early.
And it was. 5-0 or 5th inning, it was 2-0, and just not a lot was happening. And it was like a three-act play, I think. It was like, okay, you're into it. The second act, it builds up to a conclusion, and then you got sort of an encore at the end with the swing-off. And I'm okay with it. I really am. I don't want to see it in the regular season, but this is an exhibition. And I think it was a pretty good, I mean, nobody, I don't think anybody wanted to see runner on second for three or four innings. That might not have happened. It might have ended in the 10th. I don't know. But I thought it was an interesting way to do it. Who's the winning losing pitcher?
Well, that would be whoever was throwing for the Yankee coach.
I don't think there's one on the box score.
And the Dodger coach was the winning pitcher.
There's no winning pitchers or winning team.
Well, it actually, as 6921 says on the text line, whoever wins the swing off should get a run added to their score. And I thought that was going to be the way it worked, but it's penalty kicks. So they won on penalty kicks. The NL wins 7-6, keep ties out of baseball. Yeah, and I would agree with that. You've got all kinds of opinions today. I saw one writer with an opinion that, you know, let's incorporate this into everyday baseball.
No.
Let's play 12 innings. If no one's won in 12 innings, we go to the swing off.
No.
And I agree. I don't want to see a pennant decided because, you know, a guy who's the number five guy in your lineup hits one more home run than your number six guy in the other lineup.
I will say that is a pretty common complaint for penalty kicks, is that people complain that it doesn't feel like it is a deserving ending in some instances in soccer matches that are super high level, like World Cup final.
I would agree.
Some people say it feels a bit anticlimactic or unjust. It doesn't feel like it's within the spirit of the game to actually end it on penalty kicks rather than a goal being scored.
I think for this, though, Mark, and I agree with you, I think for the All-Star game, this was perfectly acceptable and a triumphant way to end things. Now, I get why Kyle Schwarber was the MVP, but keep in mind, he also had a chance to win in the ninth, and he didn't.
The guy who goes 0 for 2 is the MVP.
Yeah, he goes 0 for 2, but he hit 3 in the swing-off. he hit 3 bombs, and single-handedly won it for the National League before Pete Alonso didn't even have a chance to go up there. Now, you could go even more in-depth. Okay, why were those players chosen? We did not see Ohtani. We did not see others because they were pretty much gone by that point and tucked into their little beds in their hotel or on a plane back home or whatever the case may be. Tarek Skubal was out of uniform. He was on the field. That's why you didn't see those folks. I really thought that Aaron Boone did not make wise choices. I thought Dave Roberts did. Anytime you can run Schwarber and Pete Alonso up in a home run contest, go ahead and do it. I wasn't real enamored with who Aaron Boone brought up. Rosarena is a very good hitter, but he's not their best home run hitter. Judge wasn't coming out and, you know, changing clothes like Superman in the phone booth and going up and swinging. Neither was Cal Raleigh, more than likely Mark, even though he was out there in uniform. But you don't want to risk injuries. So you want guys that are in the game at the end, and I think that's what both managers did. But I think the American League could have come up with a couple better ones. I think Rooker was good.
I don't think teams take it all too seriously, and I don't think we should either. If they took it seriously, guys would be on the in their uniforms on the bench, even if they're out of the game. And managers who have to make a decision a day ahead of time about who they're going to put up there for this potential swing off, they need to think seriously about it if they care about winning. And again, I'm not sure they do. Because you wouldn't have Aranda up there for the American League.
No.
Why not Buxton? Why not Witt? Why not somebody like that? I think the managers probably correctly theorizing, you know, I want guys who are going to be in there towards the end of the game and maybe a little fresher. But, I mean, Raleigh was still in uniform. Why not throw him up there? Again, I don't think the teams take it too seriously anymore. I'm not saying they don't totally, but so we probably shouldn't either.
No. Let them Swinging street clothes, says Gene and Benton. Mm-hmm. How were the batters chosen for the swing-off, asks 7001. I think it was just, hey, you, Sowers, go ahead.
Well, all I know is the managers had to decide a day ahead of time. And, again, probably figuring who's going to be in the game
Correct.
Late. And knowing that Judge and Ohtani weren't interested, among others. And then they kind of went around the room, probably, and... You interested? I'll put you on the list.
Thinking it would never happen.
Well, there was a, you have to do an alternate, too. And an alternate got in that swing off, too. So I think it's fine for the All-Star game, an exhibition, no question about it. But there were some other good moments. And I think the Clayton Kershaw moment was really cool. I think having him mic'd up was very good. I'm not all into miking up players, but I think in that particular moment it was really good. And I think we saw that the ABS system works.
Yes, it does, and quickly.
4 out of 5 calls were confirmed, either in or out of the strike zone, and bring it on.
I like that. And much like you have said, Isaac, all along, it's like in tennis. Okay, got the line. That's in.
It's either in or it's out.
Now, they brought up a good point that this is a square box for the ABS. A lot of umpires tend to umpire with a curve, more of a curved box. So we'll see if that changes over the years.
And not every strike zone is the same.
Exactly.
Altuve's strike zone is not the same as Aaron Judge's.
Very true.
So you got to assume that this ABS box or triangle, not triangle, but rectangle, is accurate.
Yeah, 64-29, we just mentioned that, yeah, a lot of the guys from the game early who were starters were already on planes by the time, a couple of them. Some were still on the field, but there were people that were not in the ballpark anymore. So obviously, and even if you were out of the game, they weren't going to bring you up there. Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani were not coming up for the swing-off after sitting in the dugout for 3 hours. A couple more things, and I'd love to hear your comments out there at 319-366-1600. The Hank Aaron tribute was tremendous, and how they did that is just amazing. Modern technology is incredible, and that was just, if that didn't have the hairs on the back of your neck standing up, I don't know what will, because that was really, really good. I never even thought of the fact that the game was played on 7:15.
No.
Until it was mentioned a little bit later on the radio broadcast. 7:15, of course, the home run number that Hank Aaron hit in downtown Atlanta, by the way, at the old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. Some... probably 15 miles away from Truist Park, but still, it was a great, great thing. Negative side of things, I don't have to have something, Fox, every moment of every inning. I don't need to talk to the managers. I don't need to talk to this person. I want to see, just let the action play out.
It's not a regular season White Sox-Detroit game, Scott.
Well, thank goodness.
It's an exhibition. It's entertainment.
I thought it was too much.
Okay.
I thought it got
Fair
to
enough.
Be too much.
Fair enough.
The Kershaw thing, fine, because it's probably Clayton Kershaw's last All-Star game. And I'm fine. And I'm with you. I'm fine with that. But I don't need to talk to everybody. And this and that. And ump cams. And
things. You don't like miking up golfers on the golf course either.
I'd rather see action. I'd rather see a swing than two guys discussing what iron they're going to pull from 210.
Action, you Nash.
That's just me. That's just me. 319-366-1600.
You want to be entertained, don't you, Isaac?
I like some of it. I was more open to it for games like this than a regular season game, just because I do like seeing some of the interaction between like pitchers, catchers sort of thing. I think stuff like that is interesting. But like especially when the stakes are, it's pretty low stakes. Like it's kind of just them out there having fun and being a little bit more open than they would be in a regular season game.
And they were.
Yeah, they were significantly more talkative.
Best part of the night was the fact that both managers said on the Fox broadcast that thank goodness we have the regular uniforms back. I smiled and raised my drink to Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts when they said that. That was a little poke at Major League Baseball, but it definitely needed to be done. Cyclone Tim, very good. The MVP was the sound guy who had the backup mic ready for the seventh inning stretch for the singer for God Bless America. You got to have a plan, man. And that guy was Johnny on the spot, and he was there. And it was good.
Yeah.
Atlanta was a good host. And we'll see what Philadelphia will do next year. Back-to-back in National League parks. So I thought it was a fun night, though. Fun night indeed. And that was before my one lone White Sox got in to pitch.
He got an out.
He got an out.
My Twins did well. Buxton participated in that rally with a double and scored. And Joe Ryan looked good. And so, yeah.
And Kwan with the infield single.
He's a pest.
He's a fun pest. Player. I love guys like Kwan. Altuve, guys like that still kind of play it the old school way. I like those guys. So it was fun. It was a good night of baseball, and cherish the swing. Everyone's going to be rooting for the tie game now in the All-Star game.
It makes the All-Star game special. It makes it different from a regular season game, which I think is kind of, I don't know, the point of that, where you have people looking forward to one specific aspect of it.
I think it's still the best All-Star game.
Absolutely.
All-Star weekend.
By far. By far. The NBA is trying, but they got a ways to go.
Maybe the international stuff will help.
I hope so.
I did enjoy hockey's, if you count the Four Nations.
Yeah, hockey
if you count that
it.
As the All-Star weekend, then that was pretty stellar this year.
Hockey killed it. I don't know if they're going to do that every year, but they definitely won as far as All-Star competition. But, you know, baseball, we had stolen bases. We had it was played like an exhibition game, but a regular game, which was nice to see. Nice to see. And most everybody got into the game, which we all like to see. 319-366-1600, 321. Let's get it to Mark, and then we'll get to Caddy Smack. Already have a question coming in for Brian, so we'll talk some golf here when we come back after a break and after an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's and First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, online at emilshideaway.com.
Caitlin Clark suffered a right groin injury last night in the final minute of the Indiana Fever's win over Connecticut. She is listed as questionable for tonight's game against the New York Liberty, and her status for the WNBA All-Star activities this weekend is yet to be determined. The Athletic has surveyed 40 coaches and staffers and come up with its ranking of all 136 FBS college quarterbacks entering the season. Iowa State's Rocco Becht is number 14. Iowa's Mark Gronowski is 39th. Clemson's Cade Klubnik is number 1. CBS Sports has published a men's basketball bracketology just for you, Scott. Iowa State and Iowa both made the summertime field. The Cyclones as a number 4 seed and Iowa as a number 8 seed. Yesterday, William Penn golf coach Darren Fisher eagled his final hole to win the Iowa PGA Professional Championship in Norwalk. Brown Deer professionals Jeff Schmidt and Sean McCarty tied for second and will join Fisher and Marshalltown's Jay Gianetto at the 2026 PGA Professional Championship next April in Oregon. Perhaps more from that coming up from Brian Haas.
All right. 319-366-1600. We will take a break, come back, and we will talk golf with you. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. And we'll answer your questions, talk about the Open Championship, talk a little golf with you. And if you have a question for Brian about your game, get it to us at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Back with more on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And a spotty shower or storm is possible this afternoon, and then we'll have partly to mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures will be in the low 80s, and it will be muggy. As we head into tonight, a cold front will be moving through and sending the winds out of the northwest. That will lead to some drier, cooler air to finish the week. Temperatures overnight drop down to a low around 60, and then tomorrow and Friday, temperatures will be hanging in the 70s with some lower humidity. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Hey parents, exciting news. Iowa HHS has launched the Healthy Kids Iowa Pilot Program to help keep your children nourished and full of energy. If you qualify, you can access extra foods throughout the summer. Think fresh fruits, veggies, dairy, grains, and proteins. Join us at various locations across Iowa, and let's make this summer both delicious and nutritious for our kids. Head over to hhs.iowa.gov/healthy-kids-iowa. Healthy Kids Iowa. Healthy starts here. A message from Iowa HHS.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and are you ready to climb this summer to the top as we gear up for Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb? Every sip gets you closer to the summit now through August the 17th. Play each day for free in the Quick Rewards app and score bonus plays with every eligible item you grab, like ice-cold Pepsi, bold Mountain Dew, hydrating Gatorade or Propel, sparkling bubbler, smooth Starbucks, refreshing Pure Leaf for the high-voltage taste of Rockstar. Grab one of those with hot food and earn two bonus plays. And each week, someone's cashing in. The cash prize climbs by $5,000 a week, stacking higher and higher until one person reaches the top, scoring the ultimate $250,000 cash prize. Open your Quick Rewards app and get climbing for your chance to win, because this summer, the view from the top is worth every play. No purchase necessary. See full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And don't forget to stop on by for some great deals, including Nature's Touch ice cream. Buy one pint for $3.99 and get one free. Limit two, all available at your neighborhood Quickstar.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long, proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
3:27, back with you on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. And we're tying in golf along with baseball. And we got to come up with a good name for it. Swing off, are we calling it the swing off? Is that the proper terminology?
I think most people are. As far as the baseball?
Correct.
All-star, yeah.
And you guys during the break were trying to figure out how we can incorporate this into golf. If you have a tie, you just go out and whoever hits it the longest, but that's not right.
I think Brian had a better idea.
Brian's got a better idea.
Yeah, knock it in the fairway, right?
Could you have a imaginary line going down the middle?
Yep.
And then half for who comes closest to the center of the fairway, and then half points for longest drive.
I don't think you can put long drive in it. I understand the home run. You know, that's just saying, okay, here's a wall, hit it over the wall. And you're choosing people that you know can hit it over the wall. And golf, I think, you know, there's so many different distances for each player. And you take a Brian Harman, right? Would you put him in that long distance?
Our friend of the show, Brian mm-hmm. Harman.
Right. Yeah. So I wouldn't put him in that contest. But if it was putting a ball in play past 250 yards, right?
True.
Then I'd put him in every time. So I would go for the accuracy side of it, and maybe it has to reach a certain number, right? 250 yards. You can't pull out your pitching wedge and throw it in the middle of the fairway, right? But you got to hit your driver, and it's got to surpass X distance. You know, and on tour, that's 280-ish at least, somewhere right around, or probably that'd be maybe on the high side.
Yeah.
Now, let's face it, the major championship is not the All-Star game.
Could you do closest to the pin? Like, pick a spot in the fairway, and whoever gets closest to the pin from that spot?
Yeah, I'd go to a green, right?
Yeah, we got to do that on a green.
Yeah, I'd go to a par three. I'm good with close to the pin. That'd be fun. That's in everybody's wheelhouse.
There you go. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports joining us for Caddy Smack on the Gym Class every other Wednesday here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN, and the Gym Class program. And Open Championship getting started here, and that's always fun and exciting. Final major, which is kind of melancholy and sad a little bit, but we got the FedEx Cup playoffs and a lot of money around the corner, and then the Ryder Cup. So we still have a lot of golf to look forward to.
A ton of golf, and I love this, you know, all the majors, because they have, you know, live from the Open, live from the Masters, live from the U.S. Open, and all that coverage that they have, so it makes it really nice inside my store, inside my golf lab, you know, with all the TVs going and lots of golf talk.
Well, we want to talk more about the Open, but you guys had your major championship the last couple of days over at Echo Valley in Norwalk, and I mentioned on the scoreboard how that turned out, but sounds like a really interesting golf course.
Yeah, it was different. The interesting part of it is, I think, is just the time frame of the two nines of when they were built. So we played, they have three nines there, and we played two of them. And one of them's newer. It's 30 or 40 years newer. And so it played differently. They had, you know, I'll give them credit, they had a ton of rain, and the golf course was in impeccable condition. So how they got it there, I don't know, because they had, you know, well into double digits of rain. And I could see the grass in the creeks, you know, way high, and the banks all bent over, and it was a mess at some point for them. So I didn't see that, right? All I saw was the grass bent over, you know. So I know the water was super high and deep all over that golf course. That being said, the greens were two different speeds, because one's 40 years older than the other. And they probably had a harder time getting to that maintenance side of it. And so when we played on opening day, my opening hole was 15, so I had to play four holes at a certain speed, and then play nine holes at another speed, and then play my last five holes at another speed. And so it gets interesting and different, and I struggled scoring because of it, and because I thought I hit the ball pretty good. It was also the first time I ever saw the golf course, too. So, but my next two rounds were good, but it's still the same thing. I kind of struggled with that crossover between the two nines and the speeds of the greens, and I just never kind of got over that.
Yeah, that's still a fun time, right?
Oh, the golf course was amazing. The greens were perfect. It was just, you know, whether you could deal with those changes or not.
Yeah. Got a couple of questions here for Brian, and we might as well get to those before we talk. We talk a little bit of golf between us, 319-366-1600. Brian in Solon. Brian, I know your pain. Feels like I'm getting stuck in my swing. I've been cutting or hitting more my irons recently. Yes, okay. It begins with an S. Any good drills to help improve my swing? Is it grip or possibly swing path?
Almost all the time is early extension. So when you hit some balls off the hosel, I hate saying that.
And you hate hearing it.
I know. It's so hard to say. You can say anything to me, just don't say that. So when that happens, most of the time your hips are moving forward toward the ball through impact. And so your rear end has to go the other way. It has to go away from the ball as you're moving to strike the ball. And most of the time, if you just get somebody with your cell phone behind you, point it at your hands, and then just put a piece of paper on your rear end. And most likely, by the time you get to impact, your rear end has moved closer to the ball. And that's typically almost always the case when you're hitting the hosel like that.
Scott didn't hit the hosel one time Saturday.
Getting, you know what? Those are, Tin Cup had it perfect. It's like a virus. It just shows up.
It does, yeah. A quick cure to figure it out is if you get as close as you can to the golf ball, you have to move away from it. So get as close as you can to it, then that way you have to move your rear end away from it in order to even hit it. So that's the first feeling you should kind of get maybe to not early extend into
it. I am not going to say that I think I am better cured because pros do it.
Oh, yeah.
They do it.
Yeah, if they tell you they don't, they're lying.
And they've done it on national television before, and that's a lot worse than you doing it out there in front of the buddies.
Yep. They kill worms just as often as we do.
I think you just need Brian and me as your mental coach. That's all, Scott.
There you go. Okay.
Well, Brian helped me more than mentally, too. He actually helped to get it better. But I hope that helps, Brian. Very much so. 319-366-1600. Let's go to 4710. Asks about any tips for a pre-putt routine. Their stroke has been, they say, awful recently, and I think I need to make it more repeatable pre-shot routine.
Yeah, so usually when my putting gets off, I will definitely look and see what I'm doing routine-wise. So, the routine has to be something you're comfortable with and get you lined up to your starting point. So, every putt is a straight putt, even though it might curve 3 feet left or 3 feet right. You're going to start the ball with a straight putt on that line. And so most of the time, if you work more on making sure that your backstroke is twice as far as your finish stroke, and so if you're standing there for a right-hand player, your putter's making it, the face of your putter's making it out past your right foot or maybe your toe and, right to the center of your toe somewhere in that range. But on the way through, it's stopping before it gets to your big toe. And so twice as far back as it is going through. It feels more like a hit, kind of like a long stop, and that kind of positioning. So usually that'll get you right back into it and then start working on how much speed you have to how far you want that ball to go. So how fast you're moving the putter through that area is your speed for the putt.
A lot of folks out there, Brian, grew up on courses, maybe municipals, that didn't have a lot of bunkers,
right,
and therefore are not experienced at getting out of greenside bunkers. I think most people know that fairway bunkers, you need to, hit the ball first, but just some general tips for folks out there that maybe, they're going to play a course that there's going to be more bunkers and just generally speaking from greensides.
Yeah, and, probably the more expensive of a golf course you're playing, the more bunkers there are, because that's a lot of the addition and a cost in a golf course is maintaining those bunkers. So you get to your more expensive courses, you're going to find 70, 80, 90 bunkers out there. And that's kind of what we're paying for and the difference in the cost. But as far as hitting the shots, like you're saying, in the fairway bunkers, we're trying to strike the ball first. So sometimes maybe even a little deeper, with a little more loft, make sure that it gets up over the lip. So making sure that you have enough loft in your hands for whatever lip you have to deal with in the fairway. And then around the greens, really, I think the easiest way to explain it over the radio is, if you picture a dollar bill and I set a ball in the middle of the dollar bill, we're trying to just go down, take that amount of sand out of the bunker and then let the sand do its job. So getting yourself in there, whether that is kind of squarish or more open, depending on what the sand conditions are, so you can get into all kinds of, conditions, because if we've had all this rain lately, they could be firm and wet. And so you want, less bounce of a wedge, and maybe stand in there a little more squarish. And then if you get more, we'll call it a fluffy Florida bunker kind of style, or they just put new sand in all the bunkers and it feels really soft, then you want more bounce and maybe get a little bit more open to your target.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough for the average player out there. Brian Haas from Lake House Sports joining us here at 3, coming up on 3:39, and his Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. You have a question about your game? We've already answered a couple of for our folks out there. Get it to us at 319-366-1600. Open Championship getting started overnight. Mark will be up at 3 in the morning watching the coverage, right?
May not go to bed. I got a big game tomorrow. I need to get my sleep tomorrow.
That's right. You've got a big one tomorrow. So, yeah, it's a lot of people love the Lynx play and the Lynx style courses. I think the vast majority do. It's fun. I love watching it a couple times a year. I think it's fantastic. It's just such a different type of golf because it's you're dependent on keeping it low if it's windy, bumping it up. You can have a 560-yard par 4, but if it's downwind, guys are hitting wedges to it. Like in the Scottish Open, they were hitting wedges, out of the rough to par 5s. And it's an interesting way to play golf, and it's fun to watch.
Well, being an 80s kid, golf courses weren't maintained the way they are now.
No.
And so we played a lot more bump and run and harder conditions because we didn't have double, triple, quadruple rows of irrigation like we do now. So I grew up with a little bit of that. I played one of the golf courses I grew up on had maybe one row of irrigation at best. And so it, when July and August came around, that place was hard as a rock. And so it was a different way to play golf. And so I kind of learned that game. I don't get to play it anymore because, everything's got at least double row if it doesn't have triple or quadruple row of irrigation. So it's fun. It's just different. And the guys are even talking about that now. It's a different way to play golf. They have to look way short of the green. They have to look at flighting balls in the conditions that they're in. For the Scottish, they had some great weather.
Yep.
And so that's almost throws them off because now they don't know what to do. They're going in expecting to do one thing and get to do another. So I think we may even see a little bit of that.
I'm looking at my picks, Brian, and we'll get to those picks, but I had to consider home field, home court, home country advantage. And I think there's such a thing. Lowry proved that at Port Rush in 2019.
Yes, he did. And might still be partying, as a matter of fact. They took him back. By the way, you talked about live from the Open on the Golf Channel. They took him back to the pub where he had his famous video that was shot. Listening to what he had to say was entertaining, to say the least. No one partied after a victory like Shane Lowry partied after a victory in Northern Ireland.
right. I think, too, though, because there's so few players from that general area, that's a lot more pressure on them.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at Rory the last time out. Drove it out of bounds on the very first hole and couldn't recover after that.
Right.
And he's going to have to face that again. I mean, like Brandel Chamblee was talking about, every major newspaper in the UK has 5 articles on Rory McIlroy this week in each edition. He's the guy, and that's a lot of pressure on you.
It's a lot of pressure, and it's a major, so there's a lot of pressure anyway. It's a different style of golf. Even those guys don't play that style of golf anymore, and not enough to where it's making a pretty severe change in how they play. So then add being home, another pressure to that. I think it's going to be really tough for them.
I like it. I like the Open Championship. And I like it where it is on the calendar right now. And it looks as though the forecasts are going to have, as usual, 4 different types of seasons through 4 days. It's going to be rainy at times. It's not going to be temperature is going to be in the low 60s the way it looks, which is very Open Championship. We have to say that now. It's not the British Open anymore. It's the Open Championship.
Right.
And, you see the Tom Watson sweaters and Arnie and Jack, et cetera, and remember back to that. If you're a caddy wearing shorts, you aren't going to see that a whole lot this week.
No. Well, it's too cold for one. And that's the other piece that you put into it, too. They've been playing in 80-degree weather, if not 90-degree weather. And now they're having to put clothes on again to play. That's a change. And that's a whole different way to play as well. And they don't have to do that often.
No.
So the flip side of that, Brian, is kind of, on a lesser extent, what you went through in Norwalk, never seen seen the course. The right. first timers that are going to be there. I mean, Ben Curtis won it in his, you know, his open debut, but those people are few and far between. They have to do a lot of work beforehand, and sometimes they just strike lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, in the case of, you know, for me, all I tried to do when it was a new course for me was just play a little better each time I got on the golf course, and I was able to do that, so I was happy with that. I felt like I hit it. I played the golf course better every time I got on there. And that's what the newbies are going to have to do. And like you said, maybe catch a little lightning in the bottle, because if they get comfortable and they kind of seem to manage that first round through, then all of a sudden you can get, okay, right? And they can maybe hang in there. But I think as much as anything, the change in temperatures is a big change, and it's the players that can manage that along with the change in how they're playing is going to be the ones we're looking for.
No split tees in this thing. Everybody's going off number one. They go from sun up to sun down.
Yeah.
Since it's such a long day, especially in Northern Ireland, because that is right on the tip of the UK over on the north side. Another big thing is that you are at the mercy of the weather. You don't know because, you know, usually late Thursday, early Friday is what tour pros prefer in a regular week, not at the Open Championship. But, I mean, you could go out and you could get the worst of the weather on the first 2 days. And it's just you're at the mercy of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when it's coming in.
I've played many events that way where I had whatever draw I got, whether it was early, late, or late, early. I got the bad weather on both ends, right? And the other half of the draw got the good weather on both ends, you know, because the storm, let's say, came in late and I had late and it stayed till morning, because then the next morning I'm up. And I caught the weather, you know, perfectly. And that happens. And so there's nothing to do about that. That's just, I don't know, rubber the green, I guess, for lack of a better term.
It is.
Yeah.
It is rubber the green. 319-366-1600 at 346. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Brian Haas joining us here on this Wednesday. You have a question about your golf game, go ahead and get it to us at 319-366-1600. We got the Open Championship. We'll give our picks coming up here in just a little bit. We mentioned we'll come back. The tour will be in Minneapolis next week. I know a lot of people like to go up there to the TPC Twin Cities and watch that. Not too much, a little bit farther away than the TPC Deer Run, but not too bad. And then the Wyndham, and then it's the playoffs.
Yeah,
after FedEx. That. And then we're going to find out who's on the Ryder Cup team at that particular time as well, after the second of the three events of the FedEx Cup Tour.
Does our captain make it?
Ooh. I think
if he wins this week, he does.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
If he gets a top five, he's got to play, doesn't he?
I think he's got to play. I changed my mind on this. I think he's got to play. He's seven right now on the Ryder Cup list.
Top six, Megan.
Who else would you put on the team? Bob Herrig, Sports Illustrated golf writer, told us the other day he doesn't have to play that morning session.
Right.
He's got Furyk there, who's been a captain.
Yep.
He's got other guys who can help him. He can play that afternoon. He doesn't have to play every session.
No.
But it's out east. They love him. He loves them.
He could just play singles.
Yeah.
He could
just play singles. Yeah.
And, well, Bob said probably if he does choose to play, like you said, he could play in the mornings or and then go off first in the singles. And then that way he'd be done. He can go out and, I mean, just think of the ovation when Keegan Bradley steps up to the first tee on Sunday at Bethpage Black. And it's, in the old, the hairs on the back of your neck are going to be standing up at that point.
I'm getting it now thinking about it. Look at that.
As Keegan,
goosebumps.
Keegan, I think, has to play. I really think he has to play. Let Furyk do some stuff.
Yeah, and he's capable of it. And all your vice captains at some point in their careers will maybe be one of the captains also. So I don't think it's not like they're lacking in people to support the players.
Experience, judgment. Yeah, they got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to do it. He'll get everybody whooped up and into a frenzy.
Yeah, it's going to be that way anyway, whether he plays or not.
Yeah, and after a full day of libations, I just hope it doesn't get too bad. That's right. What I hope. And it's very civil. We've had a few Ryder Cups that weren't civil. Not really as of late. It wasn't terrible in Italy a couple years ago. A couple of folks got a little bit out of hand, but I think this one has the potential to perhaps get out of hand. We'll see. I hope not.
I don't think they mean to do that. It just happens.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll have our picks for the Open Championship. You have a question, get it to us at 319-366-1600. It is Caddy Smack on the Gym Class coming your way here on a Wednesday on 1600 ESPN.
Adam Schefter here for Vivid Seats, your ultimate destination for all your sports and concert needs this summer. With a game-changing rewards program and an unbeatable selection of tickets, they make it easy for every fan to watch their favorite teams and players in action. Catch every home run and thrilling comeback in person from your favorite seat. Plus, every ticket is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee, giving you peace of mind with every purchase. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
A SoFi personal loan is here to help you achieve something once thought impossible, overcoming high-interest credit card debt. Walk the tightrope of your finances with one low, fixed-rate monthly payment, no fees required, and as soon as the same-day funding. That's right. Pull off your own debt-defying stunt with a SoFi personal loan. Visit SoFi.com/trick to learn more. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Every great team has its core players, but when the season gets tough, adding the right free agent can make all the difference. The same goes for business. At Robert Half, we found that 67% of companies surveyed plan to increase their use of contract talent to handle workload peaks and backlogged projects. With Robert Half's specialized recruiters' experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can quickly find the skilled candidates you want. At Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
3:52, back to wrap up Caddy Smack and the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. You want to get in a final question like Tim did here. Get it to us at 319-366-1600. Tim would like you to answer his question. Best way to get back into golf. What's the best way to have lessons if you haven't golfed in years? Getting on the actual course or on the range, and how many lessons is a good starting point?
Sure. I think the first thing you should do is make sure you stretch at home and don't go out there cold and just try to hit some balls. So get your body warmed up well. Go to the range, see what's happening, get the clubs out. I have no idea how old they are, the equipment, but you know, the golf ball has changed. So if they've been, if there has been longer than maybe 15 years, you may want to take a look at that. But you can hit golf balls with anything, and to get started, I suggest you just do that, and just kind of see what happens. And then after that, you'll have some questions, and that's when I think you just go to your local golf shop and golf professional and say, I need some help. And I think that's the best way to do it. And that way you're not trying to fix it yourself. You know, YouTube is a great avenue, but the reality is it's really hard to diagnose yourself and determine, does that pertain to me? And that is, there's a lot of great information out there, but if you can't determine if that pertains to you, then it may not be great information.
And there are a lot of different opinions on how to get from point A to point B too.
YouTube. No doubt about it. Yeah. Yep. And you just need to know if it pertains to you. So there'll be lots of things that pertain to you. You just need to know if it does or doesn't. And that's the hard part.
We have the question, of course, how do we think Brian Harman will do this week? He's a former Open champion, golfer of the year.
He's a mutter.
I think he'll do fine. I don't think he's going to win it, but I think he's going to be fine. Yeah. We always have the Brian Harman rooting section
right
on Caddy Smack and the Gym Class. One other question, 1577. How often should a driver be replaced? That's a good question.
It depends how much you're playing.
Yeah.
If you're playing three times a week, you should probably stay on whatever brand cycle they have. So some of the manufacturers are yearly cycles, like TaylorMade and Callaway are typically yearly cycles. So I don't think you have to go yearly, but if you go every other year, I think you're in great shape. If you're playing once a week, you can probably go 3-4 years,
yeah,
you know, somewhere in that range. It just, drivers have changed. So if you are a couple generations back, you can go buy some game. You know, that's kind of what I call it. And if you're only a generation back, you're not really buying much game.
Yeah. All right. Time to jinx some people.
There we go. Favorite part.
Mark, who's winning the Open champion? Who is going to hoist the claret jug like you and I did in this very room several years ago?
We did indeed. It's hard to look past Rory. He's in good form after the Scottish Open. It's a home field advantage for him. I don't like going with the favorites. There were some stories I'd like to see play out. I mentioned Bradley. I would love if Tommy Fleetwood won. I think that would be a great story, and I think he's capable. He's got 3 top 10 finishes. I'm going to stay with my pick, and that's the lefty, Bob McIntyre.
That's my guy!
I told you 2 weeks ago I was picking him.
And I forgot, and then I was going to take Bobby Mack, man. We both like Robert McIntyre. How about that? Do you have a B? A B
Fleetwood.
Player? Okay, Fleetwood's your B.
Yeah.
I'm going out on a limb and saying Justin Thomas is going to come close. Mm. Not really out on a limb, but just he's not really been in the major conversation as of late, but I think JT's going to have a good week. But I like Bobby Mack, too. Are you going to go with Bob McIntyre, too?
I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm in the mainstream part of it, and Bryson's been playing better.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't have a bad open, and that was really hard, and he kept his cool through it, which, you know, that was hard to do on that golf course. And he loves to hit shots,
mm-hmm,
right? He loves,
over his house.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too. And so I feel like that's his playground. So, yeah.
Going with Bryson. All right.
Yep.
Very good. Very good. Well, we'll get together in 2 weeks and we will lament on Bobby McIntyre missing the cut and Bryson getting 58th. and then talk more golf. LakeHouseSports.com, right?
Yes, absolutely. LakeHouseSports.com or BrianHouseGolf.com get you the same place. And and adding some new force plates to the lab here shortly. So it'll be a lot of fun. And technology keeps getting better, and we're going to keep moving with it.
It's crazy. It's all good stuff. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. Have fun playing today.
Yeah, you bet. We'll see you in a couple weeks here.
Perfect.
All right. I'll be here tomorrow. Jeff Johnson and Jeff Linder are going to join me. Mark, we'll see you on Monday.
We're off
Friday.
I'll report back.
All right. Spencer on Sports is next here on 1600 ESPN.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and